Good morning.
Wow, really loud.
Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6, we'll read from verse 1. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 1. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Behold, now the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam, and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live." So he said, "Go." Then one said, "Please be willing to go with your servants." And he answered, "I shall go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, "Take it for yourself." So he put out his hand and took it. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, "In such a place shall be my camp." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there." The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army of horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people with blindness, I pray." So he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he brought them to Samaria. When they had come into Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Then the king of Israel, when he saw them, said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" He answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the marauding bands of Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for being here with us this morning, God. I thank you that we could come before you and spend some time in your word and spend some time in prayer. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and lead us and speak to us this morning as we come together as a body. And we invite your presence to come. And we just thank you for giving us this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to continue on kind of from what Pastor Eugene was saying last week. He preached a message on Psalm 27, and he talked about us not being afraid. He said, you know, we shouldn't be afraid because the Lord is our helper and the Lord is with us. And as I was reading this passage in my own personal reading, I just felt that this is an example of one of those things where we can overcome fear. Because it's easy for us to say, yeah, we shouldn't be afraid, you know, and do not be afraid and do not fear. But it's hard to really live it out. You know, we still feel afraid when we're faced with difficult circumstances and when we're faced with challenges. We still feel afraid. And so how do we overcome that fear? And I think this here is an example with the servant of Elisha of how we can overcome our fear. If we look in verse 15, I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. It says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots has surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. So he responds in fear when he sees that the army of the Arameans had come with the horses and the chariots. The servant responds in fear, and it says, and he says, "Oh, what am I going to do? What are we going to do?" Because he sees the army that's surrounding them. And then the prophet says, "Don't be afraid." This is Elisha. "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prays, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so this whole time, Elisha is not afraid, even though he sees the same thing that the servant sees. And the difference is that Elisha has a perspective on who God is and what God is doing. You know, and I think for us to really be able to overcome our fear, we really need to have this vision of what of who God is and what God is doing. And I think we need a fresh perspective and fresh expectation as to what God is able to do in our lives. I really felt that we are very desperate to have this perspective, because without this vision of Him, without this vision of God, we will be defeated. You know, if Elisha didn't have this perspective and this vision of who God was and what He was doing and what God was capable of doing, Elisha wouldn't have had this victory, would not have had this courage and the boldness, and he would have been defeated. I think of Israel, when they first came out of Egypt, and God was leading them to the land of Canaan, and God had already given them the victory, but they send in the spies, and they see that the men are too big for them. And so because they didn't have this vision of what God is able to do and that God was for them, you know, they are defeated even before the fight actually begins. You know, they are too intimidated to move and to go into battle. So I think we're very desperate to have this vision of who God is, because without this vision, we will be defeated in our Christian walk. And my main desire for us this morning is that we would have that our expectation of God will go up. You know, I think sometimes we go through life and we go through the mundane and we go through the day-to-day kind of life with God. And it's easy kind of for us to limit God to our view of who He is, because we're not always seeing things that's written in the Bible. You know, we're not always seeing God move in a powerful way. We're just kind of used to going through the day-to-day activity. And I mean, it happens to me, you know, we often limit God to just our own experiences and to our own view of who He is. But that needs to change, you know. I really felt like, man, our expectation of God is so low. You know, when we pray and when we come before God, we don't expect God to move in the way that he did in the scriptures, you know? So, if you could turn with me a little, we're going to read a little bit more in chapter 7. So, right after this story, there's another story in chapter 6, and it's another siege, another attack from the king of Aram. And they come and set up siege against Samaria, against Israel. And the siege is really, really bad. And if you read in chapter 6, it actually talks about these two women, and they decide, because they can't get out because there's a siege against them. They can't get out. There's no food. These two women decide, okay, this night we're going to eat your child, and then next night we're going to eat the other child. And then they eat the first one, but the second night the woman hides her own kid, and so there's... It's just crazy. There's a lot of turmoil and very difficult time of siege and attack from the Arameans is happening. And the king goes to find Elisha the prophet to say, hey, what's going on? What is God going to do anything? Or are we going to be defeated? And in chapter 7, verse 1, it says this, Elisha replied, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a sheah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and two sheahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So he's referring to because there was a famine and there was a siege, all these things like flour and barley, the prices had gone up crazy. So what he's saying is, hey, by this time tomorrow, these prices will come down. Basically, what he's saying is the siege will be lifted, there will be victory, and these things that are selling for so much right now is going to come down, the price is going to come down. And the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat any of it. And verse 2, I think sometimes is our own response to maybe the promises of God. And when we come before the Lord in prayer, this sometimes, sadly, it becomes our response. Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heavens, could this ever happen? And that becomes our attitude, because we don't have this perspective of what God is able to do, because we don't have this vision of who God is. We end up responding in this way and saying, man, this will never happen. You know, if even if God did this and this and that, you know, this kind of breakthrough, this kind of miracle, this kind of power of God is never going to really take place, and we're never going to be able to witness something like that. And I think that's sad, you know. And today I just want to, I don't know, help us to really gain a new expectation, a new perspective, a vision of what God is able to do. Because I'm reminded of P. Sam's quote in a sermon. He says, he is not afraid who knows that his God is omnipotent. You know, he is not afraid, or he does not fear who knows that his God is omnipotent. And yet I think we often forget that our God is omnipotent. We often don't live with this perspective and this vision and this expectation of a God that is omnipotent. And we limit him to what makes sense in our own mind. And then we limit God, you know, to what, to our own expectation. So how do we gain this vision? I mean, there is no real simple answer, but for me what helped was, number one, is reading God's Word. Reading God's Word, and that's what it did for me yesterday. I had some time yesterday just to get into the Scriptures, and I was reading through, you know, end of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and I was reading about kind of the power of God that was revealed through the work of Elijah and Elisha. And, you know, I was feeling... I mean, I wasn't doing super well. You know, I was feeling a little bit down, maybe a little stressed out, a little bit worried. And as I was just reading about kind of the awesomeness of God through Scripture and the power of God that is revealed through Scripture, I was reminded, you know, wow, God is really able to do so much more than I could ever imagine. And yet I live with this small view of God. I live with this limited view of what God is able to do. But when I read the Scriptures, I'm reminded again, no, God is so much bigger, and He is able to do so much more than I could ever imagine. You know, there are some crazy stories. In chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, you know, what we read today, the axe head floating from the lake where it fell into the waters. There are some crazy stories. And when we read it, we're reminded of, wow, God is able to do so much more. He is able to go beyond our imagination. And we're able to only think of ways of God moving in certain ways. But God goes beyond that, you know. And so read Scriptures and let that kind of renew your expectation of what God is able to do. Renew your vision of what God is able to do. The second thing is, I think sharing testimonies between us is a very good way for us to maybe keep afresh our perspective of God, our vision of what God is able to do, and not limit Him. I think that's dangerous, you know, that we limit God just to what we feel like He is able to do, and that leads us to defeat. But we need to have this vision, have our faith restored, you know? We need to have our faith restored, faith in what God is able to do. And so one is reading the Bible. Second is sharing testimony, you know, seeing and hearing about the realness of God. It encourages us and it reminds us that, wow, God is really present in people's lives. And if He's present for this person, He's going to be present in my life as well. So just to share a very, very simple story. It's not even a wow story, but I think it shows that God is love. So my dad, he's in Korea right now, and he has to be there to for his Korean citizenship, somehow to get his insurance. So he's there for 3 months, and he's, you know, he's busy preaching and stuff like that, doing different things while he's in Korea. And he's in Seoul, and he wanted to go down to this place called Jinhae. Jinhae is in Korea, and it's famous for cherry blossoms. So he's in Seoul, and he's thinking and just kind of doing his thing with God. And he's just saying to God, you know, oh, I would love to go down to Jinhae because, you know, the flowers are there. It's beautiful. So he's just thinking to himself, you know, oh, I would love to go down to this place. And then what happens is right at that time when he is thinking about that is also the time when Mon's Monica, my fiance, her grandmother passed away in Korea, and her grandmother happened to be in Jinhae, you know? And then, he finds out about that. And then also at that time, he gets a call from a church that's near that area to come down and preach in Jinhae. You know, so, I mean, it's just cool that, like, my dad wasn't even expecting to go to Jinhae. And he was, like, thinking about making a trip down to Jinhae, you know, just so he could see the cherry blossoms and stuff. But somehow, God worked it out that He was able to kill 3 birds in 1 stone. And I mean, my dad was telling me the story, and we're just saying, oh, God loves you so much, you know? Like, He just, He knows your desire, and He was able to, like, fit that in with all the other things that He kind of had to do. And I know, a very simple story. It's not a very wild story, but it kind of shows God loves my dad, and He cares for my dad enough to work out a situation where the desire of his heart was met, you know, even through the little things that he had to do. So, just sharing testimonies with each other of who God is and what God has done in our lives, I think is another way to help us keep that faith or keep our expectation high of what God is able to do, and to keep our faith restored, and to keep this vision, and to not limit God to just our own feelings or our own views of what God is able to do. And I think the last one is we need to take steps of faith, you know? We need to take steps of faith. Let's attempt great things for God. Pastor Salamat said this last week. You know, he said, and Pastor Eugene quoted this on Facebook. He said, you can go to church and listen to many sermons, and you can read many commentaries, but if you don't have any experience with God, then you don't have anything to say to the next generation. That's powerful. And yeah, we could hear sermons, we can read the Bible, we can hear the testimonies, but unless we ourselves have our own experiences and encounters with the power of God that we can look back to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, you know, then it'll be harder for us to live in victory. You know, we'll be defeated because we don't have our own arsenal. So, my main goal today, I want to help restore in your heart your expectation and faith in God's power. I think we need to have this vision. We need, like Elisha's servant, who was so afraid because he could only see with his natural eyes, but then when God opened his spiritual eyes, he had a fresh perspective, right? He had a vision of who God was and what God was doing, and he was able to have faith, you know, and have courage. He wasn't defeated any longer. We need to have that in our heart. We need to have our faith restored. We need to have our expectation go way up as to who God is, and to truly know that God is omnipotent. And he is able to go beyond just what our imagination. He is beyond our limitation, the limitation of our own feelings, of our own faith, of our own imagination. And he is beyond that limitation. He is greater than that. So let's pray with this kind of expectancy, you know, when we go before the Lord. And let's pray that our eyes will be opened to the spiritual reality of who God is and what he's doing. So let's go to the Lord in worship. And then, let's just pray. I'll pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come to my heart, God, and to the hearts of our church members. Would you open up our eyes like you opened up Elisha's servant's eyes, God? And you showed him a spiritual reality, and you showed him your power and who you were. And I pray for that same thing for us, God, that our vision of you will be restored, God. Our faith in you will be restored. Our expectation in you will be renewed and restored, God. I pray that we will be able to pray with faith and expectation because you are an omnipotent God and there is truly no limit to your power. So God, would you come and restore that in our hearts, God, so that we will not live lives of defeat, but that we would live lives of faith and courage and victory. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us and to move in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Extends to call me friend. Your mercy sets me free, and I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name, but because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. I can't explain this kind of love. I'm humbled and amazed that you come down from heaven's heights and greet me face to face. And I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. And I know I'm weak, I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name, but because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. Here I am at your feet, and my brokenness complete. Here I am at your feet, and my brokenness complete. Here I am at your feet, and my brokenness complete. I am at your feet, and my brokenness complete. And I know I'm weak, I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name, because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed.
Let's just go before God. I really feel that we are very desperate for a perspective, for a vision of who God is. Because without this vision of Him, we're going to be defeated. Without the vision of an omnipotent God, without our faith and our perspective in Him being restored to what Scripture says of Him, we're going to be defeated, because we're going to limit Him to just our feelings, to our own experiences and our own view. So let's just go before God and really pray that He would restore this perspective in His power and in His omnipotence. So let's go before God together. let's go to our community prayer focus and let's really pray with faith. Let's pray with expectation. Let's pray within in humility. You know, humility of saying, God, you are who you say you are in your word. So we're going to come with faith and expectation that you're going to move, that your promises are going to be true, that you are faithful. So let's go before the Lord and let's pray for these things together. Let's pray for cancer, chemo, and the transplant. Let's really pray with expectation and faith. Let's pray together. Let's go to our second slide. Let's pray for salvation as well as healing for those that's on the list. Chelsea's grandfather was on this list, and if you saw, he was in the first list because he received Christ. So God is moving, you know, praise God, and let's continue to pray for our friends and family on the list. Let's go to the third slide. Just various infirmities and sicknesses. Let's really pray for healing to come, God's encouragement to come right now upon our brothers and sisters. So let's pray together. Let's go to our fourth slide. Let's pray for breakthrough for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for God's provision. And let's pray that God will do a work in their hearts in this time. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters on this list. Go to the Wednesday mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for Grace and Ashley and Bloom. And pray for Pastor Robert Oh with his ministry in Cambodia and New Life Church, which is a church that we are connected with in that nation. So let's pray for these three things, and let's lift up the nation of Cambodia together. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for the ones on the list. Let's just pray for their own relationship with God. And let's pray that for God's protection over them and their families. And let's pray for God's encouragement and empowerment. So let's pray for our board. Let's lift up our men and women's ministries. Let's pray for the leaders, for God's guidance and direction. And let's pray for the retreat that's coming up. Let's pray for the preparation process for that. Let's pray for just again leadership and guidance from the Holy Spirit, and let's pray that it'll be a fantastic retreat. Let's pray for the women's brunch that's happening soon. Let's pray that it'll be a blessing to the sisters in our church. Let's lift up the men and women's ministry together. Let's pray for SP 2.0, the new building and the donor. We're just praying in response to God's prophetic word for us regarding a donor. So let's just take God on His word and let's pray for a donor that will come. Who knows when that will be, but let's continue to pray with faith and expectation. Let's sow into the vision through our prayers and for the new building. For our church as we continue to grow. So let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Let's just pray for a powerful time. Let's pray for the leaders and let's pray. Let's just lift up these house churches. Let's go humbly before the Lord for our house churches. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you. James chapter 5, 17. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So God, I pray, Lord, that our faith, our expectation for our prayers, God, and for what you can do, Lord, will be restored to the standard of the Bible, God. I just I repent of my own unbelief and lack of expectation, God, and for limiting my expectation based on experience and feeling and my own limited view of who you are. And I pray, Lord, that you would restore this faith in our hearts, God. Restore this faith and expectation in our hearts, Lord, so that we will be able to live lives of victory and courage and boldness, God. That we will not be defeated even before the fight begins. So I pray for our church, God. I pray for this group, Lord. We're desperate for this vision of you, God. this perspective of you, Lord. So open our spiritual eyes. And I pray your blessing over each of us. God, help us to go through our day and bring pleasure to your heart, God, and blessing to the people around us, God. So may we represent you well today in all that we do, and we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.